So, Father, I thank you, Lord. I thank you that you've brought all these people into your house. Lord, I thank you that you have a purpose and a plan for us today. Lord, I thank you that your Holy Spirit is here strong in our midst. Lord, we give you praise for that. And so, Lord, now in the next few minutes, as we declare your word, Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are here to make this word personal to each one. Lord, you alone know our hearts. You alone know what we are dealing with. And so, Lord, as I deliver what you've given me, I pray that by your Spirit, you would take it supernaturally and make it real and bread and life to those who hear it. And Lord, I pray that we would not just be hearers of the word, but that we would go forth to do and accomplish everything you've called us to do for Jesus' sake. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Praise God. How many of you grew up with one of your parents telling you, stand up straight? Watch your posture. Stand up, pull your shoulders back. Stand up straight. You know, if you think about it, we posture ourselves for what we have faith for. I remember almost 38 years ago, we were in a crowded shopping mall, and my husband dropped to his knees suddenly and reached out and brought out a little box. Well, you know, I didn't have to have a genius IQ to realize that something momentous was about to take place. He was posturing himself for something that would change our lives forever. And it was a wonderful moment. But you know, we do that in the natural, but how much more in the spiritual should we begin to posture ourselves and prepare ourselves and take our stand for that which God is preparing to do in our lives? We need to take our stand by our natural and our spiritual posture. You know, I talk about basketball a lot. I don't talk about baseball, but it's always fascinated me the stance that someone takes the plate, takes the bat, and he gets down in that stance. Why? Because he's saying, I'm going to get up there and I'm getting ready to hit a home run. I'm going to hit this thing out of the park. Now, if he came up just, you know, any old way and didn't stand in the stance, you would think it was a bit strange. You would think, well, he doesn't really think anything's going to happen right now. You take the posture of what you believe is going to follow. And really what we posture ourselves for really reveals where our faith is at. If we are not expecting victory, even if we're saying it with our mouth, our posture is going to declare something different. If we think, oh, you know what, I'm defeated, I'm not expecting God to show up on my behalf, we may even say all the right words, but our posture will tell to the world that we are double-minded, that we are not truly believing what we say that we are believing. You know, the Lord told Noah to build an ark. How many of you would thought Noah had a lot of faith if he, after having built the ark, if he refused to go in it when it came time, when the waters came down and the floods rose, if he said, oh, you know what, I don't believe I will. I don't really want to go away that long, out of sight, out of mind. We would say he had no faith. And so really what we posture ourselves in and how we posture ourselves determines what our faith level is reaching out to God for. How many times, you know, I'm sick of saying one thing with my mouth and really acting in a different way. And one of the postures that I'm taking for 2018 is, Lord, let me take my stand that my very posture, my very expectancy, everything that I'm believing you for comes into agreement with the words of my mouth. In Jesus' name. Ephesians 6:13 says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Now, stand means to make firm or establish, to uphold or sustain the authority of, to cause a person or a thing to keep its place. And we are supposed to stand and uphold the authority of our Master Jesus Christ and see his kingdom come in this world as we take our stand. Now, the Bible says a lot about standing, and we're going to talk about different stands that the Bible specifically mentions. And the first one that's fundamental to our study this morning is that we have to stand in Christ. We have to be in him. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. All things have become new. Isn't that exciting? The Bible tells us that as we come to Christ, as we come to Jesus, we become completely new. The old man is gone, and the new one, our spirit man, comes out. Now, you might say, well, you know what? I still have some of the old man in me. Yes, our soul, our thoughts, our emotions, our reasonings, our human side is continually being brought under submission to the Spirit of God. But our spirit becomes new immediately when we come to salvation. I love Philippians 3:10, and I'm going to read it out of the Amplified Version because this so clearly states what our purpose, once we are in Him, should be. For my determined purpose is that I may know Him. Do you know Him today? Are you in Him? Are you standing in Him? That I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with Him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of His person more strongly and more clearly, and that I may in that same way come to know the power outflowing from His resurrection, and that I may so share His sufferings as to be continually transformed to His death. Are we truly in Him? The Bible tells us to examine ourselves daily to see if we are in the faith, to watch and see if our day-to-day living reflects who we are standing in. You know, I asked myself this week, if the people in my life looked at the way I live my life, could they tell that I stood in Him? Could they see something different in me? Could they see that I'm a person that's not living for their own gain, but I'm living totally to please Him, to know Him, to become more acquainted with Him, to always be progressively more knowledgeable of Christ my Savior? Could they tell? Could they tell if you, how you live your life? Are we in Him? You know, we've been in, as a church, a period of fasting and prayer. And several of us have actually been fasting social media, and we've been limiting social media. And I've heard so many people say, I love it. All of a sudden, my life is more simple. What's important rises to the surface. All of a sudden, I have more time to hear Him, to watch what I'm doing, to look up to Him and say, Lord, what do you think about that? Lord, what could you show me about this? That's how I'm talking to the Lord on a day-to-day basis. I'm asking Him, Lord, show me something for my children. Let me declare your purposes in their life. Let me know you better. What do you think about this? How am I doing in this area? Lord, Lord, help me to know you. And the Bible talks about knowing Him. You know, I really think that a theme for 2018 is restructure and simplify. Sometimes our lives just get so complicated. They get so full of busyness and this and that and running to and fro and running here and there that we can pass a whole day and not look up to the Lord and say, Lord, what are you speaking to me today? I want to know you. I need to know you. I want to know you in the power of your resurrection. When it talks about the power of your resurrection, it talks about mighty dynamite power. The actual word is dunamis, and it comes with the word dynamite. And when the Lord says that we can know Him in that power, that's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. That's the same power that He worked miracles using that dunamis power. That is the power that gives us moral power and excellence in our soul. It's the power that rests upon armies. That's the power that's in you and in me if we are in Christ. So if we are standing in Christ, we have access to that mighty dynamite power. And you might say, but in this area of my life, it's such a mess. I don't see that dynamite power flowing through my life. We need to begin to see that the power in our spirits can actually be loosed to go on our flesh. We can say, Lord, take this mighty dynamite power that's in me because you're in me, and I release it to begin to heal my soul, to begin to touch areas of iniquity, to begin to touch areas of struggle. There's areas that if we were honest, some of us have gone around and around and around the mountain in. We've not been able to get past. The dynamite power of Jesus Christ is available to you and to me to release into those areas of our soul. The Bible says He restores my my soul. And that's how he does it, through the dynamite power. You know, he's already been raised from the dead. He came, died, and the power of his resurrection is available to each believer. If you are in Christ, you are a new creation. I have begun to pray that way. I've begun to say, Lord, I know. I can't even fathom the mighty power that's in me because of who you are. But I am believing that that mighty power is not just available for my spirit man, but it's available to every area of my soul. It's available to hurts and wounds that I've gone through in the past. It's available to sufferings that even in my bloodline that I have gone through. That blood, that power, that resurrection, that dynamite power is available to you and to me. And so many times I think we live so far beneath what God actually has for us. Rise up, take your stand, begin to speak forth that mighty dynamite power of God. Many times it's our soul that's in control. How many of you have led, and I've done it, we've all done it, led your life at the control of your feelings? You know what God's word says, but you just don't feel good that day. And so you get up that day and you're speaking those things, and that's what's in control, and that's what's leading you, and you're not standing in anything but your own misery and your own sadness because you've decided that that's just the way it's going to be. I want to challenge you and I want to challenge me to stand up under the mighty dynamite power of Jesus and say, Lord, I thank you. That same power lives in me. Let me begin to see your power at work in my soul life, in my thinking, in my thought patterns, in the way that I live my life, in the way that I have my relationships. Lord, your dynamite power. Praise God. I don't think we can even begin to fathom the force, the dynamic power that lives in each one of us. If we did, we would be leaping for joy. We would be posturing ourselves for victory because we would realize what's housed in us as Jesus comes to take up his residence in our spirits. It's a great thing. It's an awesome day to be full of the Spirit of God. The second thing that we are to stand in, and that's in awe and reverence of him. We used to sing a chorus, I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you. And you know, as I've observed, it seems like there's very little awe and reverence these days. You know, our culture, as a culture, there's lots of things that we just take for granted that we don't honor. And I'm not talking about a stilted formal relationship. I'm talking about standing in awe and reverence of the very God that made you, the very God that formed you, the very God that's bigger than you and I can even fathom. Psalms 33:8 says, let all the earth fear the Lord. And it's not talking about being afraid of. It's talking about showing him reverence. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. Do we stand in awe of him, or have we lost it? Has he become commonplace to us? Has he become just something that we put to the side and we don't stand in awe and we don't reverence him? Psalm 34 says, oh, fear the Lord, O ye saints. There's no want to those who fear him. And finally, Hebrews 12:28-29 says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we can serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Let me tell you that as awe and reverence comes back into the church, I believe we're going to see that consuming fire. I believe that as we reverence him and give him the honor that he so deserves, that he is going to come. He will not be able to stop. He will come in fire and he will baptize us with his Holy Spirit and with fire. But we need to begin to sow that honor to him. My husband and I were in Israel last fall and we went to the Wailing Wall, the Western Wall. And that's the place where the Israeli people consider the most holy place. And they have such an awe and such a reverence there. You can tell it when you approach the wall, there's just prayer going all over. And there's people from all nations. And they consider it so holy that they consider it very disrespectful and rude for you when you leave, for you to turn around and turn your back on the wall. And so what they actually do is they back up. They back away from the wall, showing and expressing honor, and reverence, because that's supposed to be the most holy place that they honor God at. And I want to tell you, I don't see that to my sorrow. I don't see that in this day and age. And I believe that there's a call, a high holy call, to come back to God in honor and in reverence and in awe and bowing down before Him and not being ashamed of showing who we reverence and who we honor. He's deserving of our honor. And I am so afraid that if we do not assume that posture, we are going to miss certain key aspects of who He is. He is a friend, He is a Father, but He's also Almighty God that we do not ever want to take as commonplace. You know, it's become very commonplace in our culture to take the Lord's name in vain. And, you know, that grieves me. And I'm not here to condemn anyone, but I'm here to say that when we begin to take the Lord as our most holy God, when He becomes to us holiness itself, when He becomes grandeur expressed and magnificence expressed, we are going to see an aspect of the character of God that we have not seen. And He will reveal Himself to us as Almighty God who moves in fire, who shows us His grandeur, who shows us His glory. I believe He wants to show it to His church. He wants to reveal Himself that way. Let's come and let's reverence Him and let's give Him all the awe and honor that He deserves. Like I said, not to show that we're stifled. I tell you what, as we honor the Lord, it will be the most freeing thing in your life. You can be free to be who you truly are as you give Him first place to the wonder of who He is. The third thing, stand against the strategies of the enemy. This one's pretty obvious. Standing against the strategies of the enemy. Ephesians 6, 10 and 11 says, a final word, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you'll be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. What are the strategies of the devil? Let me tell you this. The enemy is not creative. He doesn't ever come up with anything new. He does the same old thing over and over and over and over. If you go back to the garden, what did He say to Eve? Well, did God really say that? You know, He tries to cast doubt on God's word, on God's intentions towards you. He tries to make you think that God has somehow forgotten His promise to you, that yes, He's blessed so-and-so over here, and He's blessed your sister and your brother, but He's forgotten about you. Let me tell you that that's a lie from the pit of the enemy, and that we must stand against those strategies. He tries to make you think that God is not looking for your good, that He's not watching out for you, that He's not a loving Father, that He's not caring for you, that He's not doing what He said He would. That's all the devil. That's not you. That's not your thoughts. Sometimes that will come into your mind, but I'll tell you who put it there. That's the enemy of your soul. That's the enemy of my soul. And the Bible says, stand against that. We need to take a stand. Don't allow yourself to be pushed around by the devil. He's not more powerful than God. The God inside of you is way, 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 way more powerful. You know, when we see the devil on that day, when we stand before God, we're going to look at him and think, you know, you caused all that misery. You're lower than the lowest low. You are not even worthy to be considered. My God is more powerful. Stand against what the enemy would try to bring doubts about God. You know, we have been timid in our stance sometimes because we weren't sure if the victory was ours. You know, I've told you that I love basketball. This week was not a good week for my team. I'll just put that out there right now. It was not a good week. So I'm not quoting from anything that happened this week. But in the past, my teams have won some great victories. And I'll tell you what, sometimes I can't watch the games live. So what I do is I'll record it because I can't watch it. Well, in this day of social media, many times, you know, I will already know whether my team has actually won or not. And so if they didn't win, I just, no problem, I'll delete that game. I'm not going to watch that. I'm not going to watch them go down defeat. But if they won, then I go back, and I'll tell you what, my posture, my stance is totally different. If you saw me watching a game where I don't know the outcome, you think that woman has lost her marbles. You know, I am talking, I'm pacing, I'm screaming, I'm crouching. You know, whatever it takes to cheer my team on, I'm there for them, man. I'm right there. there. But I'll tell you what, my posture is totally different if I know that we've already had the victory. If I know, then I don't get upset if it looks like they went behind. I'm victorious. I'm standing in total confidence. I'm waiting for the victory. Why? Because I know we've already won it. I know it's there. I don't have to even worry about it. I can sit confidently. I can sit happily. I can sit joyfully because why? I know the victory's ours. Children of God, the same thing is true for us. If you do not quit, the victory is yours and the victory is mine. We know the final scene. We've read the last page of the story. We know that if we continue in Christ and if we withstand the devil, that we are more than conquerors and we will watch our enemies be made a footstool under our feet. God is coming, and as long as you don't quit and as long as you don't give in to the strategies of the enemy, then you don't have to fear defeat. You can take that confident stand of victory. Psalm 144 in the Passion Version, verses 1 and 2, is very, very powerful. And this is actually what King David sang as he stood before Goliath. So picture this. David went out to face the biggest enemy of his life. This was not a bear. This was not a lion. This was the big giant that had threatened the entire kingdom, that the king was afraid of, that all the armies were afraid of. Everybody was quavering. Everybody was shaking in their boots. And yet David, a simple shepherd boy, stood before Goliath. And we know that this is the psalm that he sang. You see, I can understand that he would sing this if it was after his victory. No, this is what he sang before he knew the outcome. And in that light, I want to read it to you. There is only one strong, safe, and secure place for me. It's in God alone, and I love him. He's the one who gives me strength and skill for the battle. He's my shelter of love and my fortress of faith, who wraps himself around me as a secure shield. So if we stand before our enemies, you know, you may be quaking in your boots at some of the things that the enemy has thrown against you, but you take that stand. I am strong and secure. God is wrapping himself around me even right now as my shield. God is helping me to fight this battle. He's giving me the strategies and what to do. He is with me and he is for me and not against me. That's the stand that you take as you face your Goliath, as you face your enemy, as you face whatever it is that's trying to stop you. In Jesus' name, you take that stance and you watch the enemy flee. Now, I'm not saying that we're puppies, but I have to tell you a puppy story from my dog, Murphy. My dog, Murphy, a few months ago when he was very small, was threatened by some of the neighbor dogs. Now, I'm not saying the neighbor dogs were bad. They just were not happy that he was trying to look in their toy box. And so he kind of nipped him and he bit his tongue, and it was a very traumatic thing for him. He would literally, his tail went down. He was afraid. His whole demeanor, and those of you that have dogs know that I'm talking the truth right here. I'm not imagining things. He really, really seemed totally cowed and upset by it. Yesterday, several months later, my husband had gone already to Virginia, and Murphy was defending me. He was the man of the house. He was the only man standing there. And as we stood in our driveway, all of a sudden, two big dogs, easily twice, three times his size, raced across into our driveway as if to threaten him. And I want to tell you something. I watched that little 30-pound poodle take a stand that would have done us proud. He squared his shoulders. He stood. He raised his head back. He growled. He snarled. He stood his ground. He was not cowering. He was not running away. It didn't matter how big those other big dogs were. He was standing, and he was going to protect his mother till the end because he was the man, and he had the authority to do it. And that's the stance. When I looked at that little dog, I thought, God, give us that stance that we will stand in our driveway, in our place that you have put us in your authority, and we will not look at the enemy as being bigger or more powerful, but we will rear back and we will roar with the mighty power of God, with the word of God in our mouth and a two-edged sword in our hands. Do you know that one of the tools that the Lord gives us to fight our enemies is the two-edged sword? Do you know what that is? That's the word of God. What I discovered this week was that it's not just a two-edged sword. It's actually literally translated two-mouthed sword. Two mouths. You know who the two mouths are? God said it. You say it. God said it. You come into agreement with you. That makes it doubly lethal and potent. It's not just that you're hearing God's word in your head, but you are repeating it. You're talking about it. You're taking your stand, and that becomes a lethal two-edged sword in your mouth. Take your stand. Speak that word. What do I mean when I say speak the word? Do I mean just get out your Bible and read it? Yeah, you can do that. But I'll tell you what helps me. What helps me is in my own words to declare God's word over my life. What do I mean? God loves me dearly. God created me and God created you with a purpose, a very special purpose, a very unique purpose, a purpose that only you can accomplish. As you stand with him, you will be victorious. You need not fear because he is with you. His rod and his staff. He comforts you. He leads you beside the still waters. He restores your soul. Even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you will fear no evil because he is with you. That's what you say. God is with me. My God will never let me down. He wraps around me like a shield of faith. Even when the enemy comes against me, I will not fear. And you know, you can grow. I watched my little dog Murphy grow. Several months ago, he took one stance. Yesterday, he took another stance entirely. People of God, we must take our stand. We are not shriveling. We are not whiners. We are not ones that are afraid of the enemy. The enemy is nothing compared to the great and mighty God that's within you and that's within me. If you do not quit, if you do not grow weary, you will be victorious. And that leads me to the next one. Got to hurry here. Stand fast. To persevere. Persist. Keep one standing. 1 Corinthians 16, 13-14 says, watch, stand fast in the faith. Be brave, be strong. Let all that you do be done with love. You know, in our day of where people aren't very committed for very long, it's very tempted to give up before it's time. I remember back to the storefront days when we were in a little storefront. There were not many of us. We were not very brave and we were not very bold. And to tell you the truth, there were many times that my husband and I, in those first 2 years especially, were tempted to give up and go back home. We were very tempted. I remember the day I was actually on my way to speak at a women's conference, and I got a call from a fellow pastor in town. And they told me, they said, you know what? I just believe, and this was a terrible word that they gave, said, I just believe that your church is going to cease to exist. Your church is going to stop. Your church is and they were literally cursing. I'm telling you the honest truth. And you know, that just a little something to encourage me as I went out to preach. But this was the phone call that I got. And I remember at that time, you know, my first reaction was to shrivel and think, oh, I'm nothing. That's true. What if we don't make it? What if we don't? And then the mighty power of God began to rise up within me. See, my soul, my feelings and emotions were in charge, but then the Spirit of God began to take over, and I began to rise up and say, you know what, that might be true if I was here on my own accord, but we're not here because we called ourselves. We're here because God called us. God placed us here. He brought us to Jacksonville, North Carolina, because he had plans and purposes for you and for me and for this church that could only come about by our obedience, and I'm not stopping now, and we will not stop until we see every plan of God fulfilled in this place. And it's a good thing that we didn't stop, because 7 years into the storefront, we came here. And you know, very shortly, we're going to go up the road. And God has got more for us. And you will look back on these days and say, I remember when we were at 1940 Gum Branch Road, and we had 8, 10, and 12. But now look at what God has done, because we're not going to stop here. We will not stop. We're going to hold fast. We're not going to give up. You know, I'll be honest, when we came here, we had a little fledgling group of maybe 140 people. And that's counting every baby, every puppy, everyone that we could come, every neighbor's child that we could rummage up. But I'll tell you what, we did not give up. And look what God has done. Look what he's doing. He is in the business of fulfilling his word. If you don't quit, you can't lose. Now, let me switch to football real quick. I know, Shirley, in your Eagles jersey there, you've got to Got an important football game coming up tonight. If my husband were here, he'd be wearing his Vikings jersey. But, you know, I have to tell you what happened in our house last week when the Vikings played the Saints. And I can't name any names. No names in this story. But there was one person in our house that became very discouraged and very defeated when it looked like the Vikings were going under. And they began to speak evil against the team. And they began to speak words of frustration and words of questioning as how could this happen? And even, dare I say, words of criticism against certain ones. And, you know, another person in the house tried to say, oh, you know, it's not over yet. There's still a chance. But no. That person was not heard. That person was not listened to. But I'll tell you what, in spite of the negativity, his team prevailed. His team came forward. His team came through for him. And, you know, I loved watching some of the interviews because one of the little guy that was right there at the very end of the game said, you know, to tell you the truth, he was weeping. He said, I don't even know what just happened. I just know God put me in that place, that God had me there, and he helped me do it for his glory. And then he was just overcome. And then another person said, you know what? I just knew I had to keep playing until the clock turned zero. And, you know, someday the clock will turn zero for each one of us. Someday, whether we go to meet the Lord, whether we die, or whether he comes and gets us, one day the clock will turn zero, but we're not there yet. And as long as we have life, and as long as we have breath, and as long as we are here, then that means he's got a purpose for you and me here. He's got something for you and me to do here. And so hold fast. Don't give up. Don't quit. Persevere. Keep at it, because you're going to see great victories. And that brings me to my very last point. And this is a fun one. And it's stand still and see. Stand still and see. 2 Chronicles 20:17 says, you will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Let me give you a bit of background here. The people of Moab, the people of Ammon, and others came to fight against King Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah. And the Bible says that Jehoshaphat was afraid. And so what he did, and this is a huge lesson for us, the Bible said Jehoshaphat feared, so he set himself to seek the Lord and fast. When fear rises up, the best thing you can do is turn to God. Don't complain, don't talk, don't, you know, wring your hands. Fear comes up, set yourself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast. And in verse 12, I love this. This is a theme for me. Jehoshaphat says, for we have no power against this great multitude that's coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. We don't know what to do. We're afraid, but God, our eyes are on you. I don't know what to do in this situation. In fact, I don't feel very good about it. I don't feel very confident in my own flesh, but my eyes are on you. I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. Can you say that? I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. And you can tell the Lord, Lord, I don't know what to do. He knows you don't know what to do anyway. He can see down into your deepest hearts and your mind and your intentions, and he knows. But as you fix your eyes on Jesus, your help's going to come. Stand and see the salvation of the Lord. In this context, see means to joyfully look, to mean to look with joy at what God does. You see, there's going to be shouts of joy in this house, in your house, in my house, as we stand and see the salvation of the Lord. There are going to be shouts of joy as you watch his deliverance come when you didn't know how in the world it could happen, but he makes a way where there seems to be no way, because you see, in this accounting, King Jehoshaphat had no idea what to do, and the Lord simply told him, you're not even going to have to fight. Stand still and watch me do it. Stand still and watch me do it. And I believe the Lord is saying to some of us today, you don't even know what to do, but you don't have to do anything because I'm going to do it for you. Stand still and watch me move. Stand and see the salvation of the Lord. And the Bible says that the Lord set ambushes against the people that had come against Judah, and they were defeated. In other words, the Lord came through in a mighty supernatural way. And I'll tell you the truth. There are times, yes, we do all we can do. All we can do is stay standing, and that's when the Lord comes in and does what only He can do. I have seen many, many, many instances in our own life where the Lord has come through, and all we have had to do is stand and see His salvation. You know, I've told this before, so if you've heard this story before, forgive me, but it's coming up so strong in my spirit. But when I was 19 years old, I had to go back to college with no money to pay my bill. Anybody ever been there? Anybody ever done that? We were missionaries, and I didn't have a lot of money. And the school that I was attending was a private school. My dad had approached me and said, "Miriam, why don't you consider another school? Because, you know, I can't help you. This was, I was getting ready to go into my junior year." And so I prayed, and I said, "You know, Dad," I said it kind of timidly because my dad, you know, I really respect him. I said, "I believe that God is saying that I need to go back. Will you pray with me?" So he did. He prayed with me all summer long. And at the end of the summer, I still felt the same. He looked at me and he said, "You know what? I want you to obey God, but I can't help you financially." And I said, "I know. And I'm believing that if God did say it to me, that He's going to make a way." So we drove all the 12 hours to Asbury College in Wilmer, Kentucky. And I went and registered for my classes as if I had thousands of dollars in my bank account. Which I think I had maybe 10, something like that. And so I got to the end of the line, and I'm going to tell you what, this is one of those instances where I'm saying, "God, I don't know what to do. My heart beating. You know, I'm nervous. I may get sent back." I had told my dad, "You can drive on home, Dad, go on home." But what I really wanted to say was, "Can you please hang around and make sure that I can stay?" But I sent him on his way. And I stood there and just watched, and I watched as each person paid their bill, and then it was just me. And I said to the Lord, "Okay, Lord, if I did hear you, show yourself strong now. Show yourself strong, because you will never tell us to do anything but that you won't provide and make a way. You pay your bills. I couldn't pay mine, but you do. And so, Lord, I'm looking to you." And I watched as he began to ring up scholarships that I had gotten that I was unaware of. And then I watched as he handed me my final bill, and it was 19 cents. And I said, "You know what? I do have a quarter in my purse. I can pull that out. I will pay my bill." And I got 6 pennies in change. God was awesome. He fulfilled His word. He made a way where there seemed to be no way. And I literally stood and saw the salvation of my God. And I want to tell you something. You cannot walk through something like that without being forever changed. I have no doubt that my God will make a way for me where there seems to be no way. All I have to do is stand in Him. I need to stand in all of Him. I need to stand against the enemy. I need to stand fast. And then I can stand and see what He will do in my life. If you haven't experienced His power in your life that way, I encourage you to make this your year. Make 2018 the year that you take your stand. Take your stand for Christ. Stand up for Him. He's worth it. He says if we stand and are not ashamed of Him here, that He will not be ashamed of us when we come up before Him at the end of time. And God has a plan and a purpose for each one of us. Can we stand together? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bow your heads with me if you would. Father, I thank you for these moments together, Lord, in your presence. Lord, I thank you for each precious one that's here that you brought here today. Lord, I believe that you have plans and purposes for each one of us. And Lord, I'm asking you now, Holy Spirit, to go to each one personally. And if there is someone here that does not know Jesus, that today would be the day that they take their stand for you. Lord, that they would begin to be in you, in Christ, the hope of glory. Lord, we ask that you would forgive us for all the ways that we have not stood for you in the past. Lord, from this day forth, with your grace and with your help, we choose to take our stand in you. in Jesus' name. With your head still bowed, if you're here today and you do not know Jesus, you don't know what it means to be in Christ, or maybe you knew once what it meant to be in Him, and you want to come back to Him, you want to take your stand before God and before man today, I just would ask you to raise your hand right now as we stand together in His presence. There are people here that I believe that the convicting power of the Holy Spirit is going to and fro. The Bible says that He is the one that brings change in our heart. So if you don't know Him, or if you once knew Him and need to return back to Jesus, today is your day. Raise your hand and we are going to be praying for you, and we're going to watch God do a miracle in your life in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Thank the Lord. Begin just to pray for a minute, saying this is a very important part of our service today, because this is where hearts change and people take decisions and make decisions that will forever change them. So, Lord, in Jesus' name, if there is someone that needs to take a stand for you, Lord, convict them now in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. I did feel very strongly when I was praying that there are people that need to return back to God, that are not walking strongly with Him. And this is your day. This is your day to come back to Him. This is your day that you will see Him stand strong for you, that you will see Him begin to move in your life, that you will see your entire posture take a change for the difference. In Jesus' name, if that's you, I see there's a hand. Usually if there's one, there's another one. We're going to just hesitate just a moment and give everyone a chance to respond. I see another hand back there. In Jesus' name, I see one over here. Thank you, Lord. Keep moving, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, bring boldness now to your people, that people might do the right thing, and that might see you for who you are. You know, if your hand's raised, or if you want to be part of this special prayer time, I'm going to invite you to come to the front and stand in front of me here, and your family is going to rejoice with you as you come right now. In Jesus' name, come and stand in front of me. If you had your hand raised, come and stand here in front of us. God's doing something. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I saw a few other hands. We'll wait as you come. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Lord, we give you praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Are any of you standing here, are you doing this for the very first time, or do you know the Lord and just coming back? Rededication. Amen. Amen. Do you know what? The Lord rejoices when we come back to the Lord. The Lord is rejoicing. And there might be more of you that need to be here. And if you are standing in your seat, you can still pray where you stand. We're going to pray together, and we're going to take our stand for God. And those three of you that are here, I just want to say that I'm very proud of you, and that God sees it, and that today is a red letter day for your spiritual walk. So let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for each one. Lord, I thank you, Father, that you've brought us here into this place, and that you have caused us, Lord, to see, Father, you in perhaps a different light. Lord, let us take our stand for you. Let us be in Christ. Lord, let us stand in awe of you. Let us stand against the enemy. Let us stand fast, and let us stand and see your glory. Lord, I'm asking for each precious one here, Lord, that 2018 would be their year to take their stand for the Lord. Lord, I pray that you would take from this place our lives, and as we go forth, make us a living testimony to your glory, a living testimony in Jesus' mighty name. And Father, I thank you for it. We give you praise, we give you glory, and we give you honor. We stand in awe of you. Great things you have done. You are our God. You are our King. We love you, Lord. We give you praise in Jesus' mighty name.